Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 20 of the First Love Club. Corey, it's hard for a Southerner to say 20. I want to say 20.
I know, it's so cute, 20.
Welcome to episode 20. I'm just not professional enough, no. Okay, so I'm reining in my Southernism right now. So we are going to talk today about scriptures, our favorite scriptures, awesome scriptures, and this is a broad topic, isn't it? It was hard to narrow it down.
OMG, was it hard to narrow it down. It was painful. Like, I had such a huge list, and then I realized I'd have to cut it down, you know, to fit it into the show. And it was like choosing children that you were going to leave behind.
Right. So really, you know, kind of when we first started the show, we thought our show would just revolve around our favorite scriptures. So then we decided to go in a little bit different direction. We've been doing some lists. We did the armor of God. So this is kind of getting back to maybe how we originally intended it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we could probably talk about scripture for a long time. And it was the foundation of our very first episode where we talked about Isaiah 40:31.
So when you said to yourself, I'm going to pick out some of my favorite scriptures, how did you even begin to start to choose?
Well, I had actually already chosen these particular scriptures probably about a month, 6 weeks ago, because I was working on a little project. Right. So I had already separated these out and have written them out. So these are sort of what I consider like scriptures for my faith toolbox. Okay. When I need a word or encouragement or an answer or reminder, mostly it's a reminder of really who is in charge. These were kind of like the scriptures I felt like really resonated the most for me.
I like that. A reminder of who's in charge. That's great. Well, I'll tell you up front, the way I decided to choose mine is I asked myself three questions. How does God want me to act and live right now? And how does God want me to share my faith? And what is the one scripture I always fall back on? Like my scripture, it just is the one I stand on when I'm fearful. So that's what I'm going to share today. So you actually have a lot more scriptures to share than I do because I wasn't sure how many I needed. So why don't you kick us off, start sharing some of your favorites?
Okay. So this particular scripture is a psalm. And I think a lot of my scriptures tend to come from psalms. And it's mostly because they're written in a way, they're written from somebody who desperately needed God, who was relying on God, who had been blessed by God. And I think that King David just really created just such lovely words. It's like I feel like I can't outdo him in the poetry. But this particular psalm is 138:3. And this was actually a scripture that God reminded me of one day when I was desperately crying out to him and needing him, seeking him. And part of this kind of like a scripture fragment kind of popped into my head. And when I looked it up, this is what it said. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul.
I love it.
I love how it says you made me bold with strength in my soul. You know, I think when we think of strength, we think of it in terms of like a physical, we're strong, we can lift something up. When you are strong in your soul, I feel like that's like next level. And I just, the poetry of it, it just brings tears to my eyes. And it's also a great reminder that when we cry out, God hears us. You know, when I cried out, you answered me and you responded by giving me the strength I so desperately needed.
When you hear the word of God read, does it make you cry? It makes me bawl. I can already tell I need a lot of tissues for the show.
I can attest, people, everyone listening, I can attest that Tracy literally does get very teary-eyed and gets cry. And this is not a criticism at all, Tracy.
No, I know.
It's lovely that you are emotional about it. I think when, to me, that's a rhema word. So when it's something that I know God's spoke to me, to my very spirit. Yes, I do. It's very emotional because I feel like he's literally spoke this to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like that those are the type of scriptures that move me that way.
Well, the word of God is just so alive, isn't it? It's just living. It's so powerful. Boy, I love it.
I do too. It's kind of like looking at a diamond, and it's so multifaceted. And depending on the day of the week or the moment in your life, the season that you're in, you might notice a different facet that day.
That's so true.
So the next verse I have is Psalm 3:3. And it says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." And that one was especially meaningful to me because I feel like when I look back over my life, I've always been kind of someone whose head has hung down. When I would walk home from school back and forth when I was a kid, and like in high school even, I always felt like I was just such a sad kid. And I had a tendency of looking at my feet when I walked. I feel like that's so much of what I remember. And that speaks so much to me, is that the Lord is the lifter of our heads. You know, like, look at me, daughter. Look at me, son. I am here. I see you. And I absolutely love that scripture for that reason.
Well, that makes me want to cry, River, first of all, to think of you as a sad little girl, because, wow, that hurts. And you're brave to talk about that, too. I'm sure that's going to resonate with somebody, and then they're going to latch onto the scripture. But what's so interesting about that is that's also one of my favorite scriptures, but I really think of the first part of it, "For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." And whenever I hear, there's a song that says that, too. And that's the part that really stands out in my mind, because I think of myself just going through the world and he's just shielding me from all the fiery darts of the enemy. So just that one scripture is so power-packed, isn't it?
It is. It is. It is. It is. My next scripture is 1 John 1:9. And this was pointed out in a sermon that Dr. Evans preached one Sunday when we were in his church. And it was just like, wow. You know, it's funny, like, you know, there's like so many scriptures in there. And sometimes when someone pulls it out for you and unpacks it, you're like, OMG, what an amazing scripture that is. So God has this wonderful promise to us in that verse. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Mm-hmm. What an amazing promise. All we have to do is confess our sins, and he is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. What a deal.
That is so good. And you know, there's times in my life when I haven't been able to forgive myself. And then I would read that scripture and think, stop thinking about that thing that you gave to God and you repented of, because he doesn't remember it. He's forgiven you. He's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness.
Tracy, when you say the sea of forgetfulness, I've heard that too. And I think a lot of us have. And I always imagine this vast sea. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm imagining that thing that we've done and that we confess, and it's like just kind of throwing it out there, and it's turning end over end, and then just plop into the sea forever, to the very bottom. That's how far away God looks at the things that we confess and repent of.
I've even felt God reminding me and saying, "Why are you bringing something up that I've let go?" You know, that's our human nature.
It's like, daughter, I've gotten over it. Why do you keep bringing it up?
Exactly. Well, when I think about scriptures, I think there are a couple that if anybody said to me, "What are your favorite scriptures?" This is one of them. So this scripture falls under the category, "How does God want me to share my faith?" And it's 1 Peter 3:15-16. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And that's the NIV version. And so I have to say, this is a scripture that has somehow escaped me until about 2005. I remember when I heard it for the first time, it changed my life forever. And I was raised in a very strict, kind of fundamentalist church where, you know, the truth is always black and white, and it should never hurt to hear the truth. You just tell someone the truth, and then they can either accept God or reject God. So I was a little bit too in your face about Christianity and how to live for Jesus and what the truth is. And then someone told me this scripture, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized, God is literally instructing me to share my faith with gentleness and respect. And, you know, you get more flies with honey, as we say in the South. And so you're never going to win anybody over if you're being hateful in any way or if you're too blunt. So it changed who I am as a person, really. It was a profound moment in my life. And from that moment on, I repented of my former ways, and I asked God to help me have a better understanding of how to talk to people about Him.
You went through a true conversion, it sounds like.
I did. I really feel like I got saved about that time, about 2006, because I had always been a Christian, but I had never turned my complete will over to God. I had an understanding of God. I'm sure if I had been killed, I would have gone to heaven, but I wasn't walking in the power of relationship like I am with Him now and have been since. So it just was a profound life-changing moment when I heard that scripture. And, you know, He's called us all to share about who He is. And I love the way that this scripture words it too. It says, always be willing to give the reason for the hope that you have, because that's what a dying and lost world needs, is hope. Because they're happy already, you know. There are a lot of people way more successful than me. But everyone needs eternal hope, and the hope that can only be found in Jesus.
I think that that particular scripture came across my radar in the last few weeks, because I think it's part of the daily reading that I did recently. And I remember making a note of it in my notes, because I thought to myself, would you be able to give an account? If you were, like, you know, put on the spot, could you share your faith with joy, with optimism, with, like, encouragement? Could you do it effectively? And I realized I don't think that I could, you know, really say it that way. I think I would stumble. And I think part of it comes for a lot of us, you know, faith often feels like a private thing. And unless you've made, you know, gotten some practice at it, and I know a lot of, you know, churches are very encouraging of their members, you know, learning how to share your faith, because that's what we're called to do. It's part of, you know, evangelism. And you're supposed to share it in a way that, you know, would make somebody curious, would make somebody want to. It sounds so good, you know, right, that you might have the answer, that they would be more interested in learning more about God. And what is this? Because all I've ever experienced is A, B, and C. Right. You know, and I think back to my upbringing, and you know, I do that all the time. I think about how resistant I was to become a Christian, because I felt like I had such terrible examples. I didn't have good examples of what Christianity looked like, and I didn't want anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. So that is a really, that's a really powerful scripture. And it's kind of like a call to action, you know, like, right, get your act together and have a way of sharing that. And so I wrote it down and put it in my prayer binder, because I definitely want to, I want to be able to do that, you know, and do it well.
Awesome.
So the next scripture for me is Isaiah 41:9-10. You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Of all the scriptures that I've come across, to me, that one reads the most like a just beautiful poetry. And it's just such a wonderful promise that God is saying so much in this, like, these two verses, that when we're His servant, that we've been chosen, that He will not cast us away, that we should not fear or be dismayed, because He is our God. He is our Heavenly Father. He is going to strengthen me, and that He will help me, and He'll uphold me with His righteous right hand when I get myself into trouble. He's there. I mean, He covers the entire gamut of your being. And I think it's definitely something that to rely upon when you find yourself, you know, down, when you do find yourself in a struggle, challenged, facing challenges. There's so many of them in this world. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those run to this promise.
I have tears streaming down my face because that is so powerful. That is so powerful.
Isn't it?
And as someone who deals with fear, you know, the Bible says fear is a spirit. And so I've had so many chest pain problems that I've had to talk myself, I always say I talk myself off the ledge from calling the ambulance a lot because I get convinced, this is it, I'm coming, Elizabeth. And, and so I'm going to also share a scripture about fear, but I really love scriptures who say, that say, don't fear, I've got you. I am your God. And it's so personal. When you read that, I thought, thank you, God, for speaking that to me.
Isn't it? It's no matter what your circumstances, He's chosen you. He's with you. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. He'll uphold you. This is God speaking this.
Right.
I sometimes think the scriptures where God is speaking are like the ones that we should copy those into.
Yes.
Our prayer binders, our Bibles. This is God's words to us. And that's a very different, that's a very different promise in my eyes. It's not just an inspired word, it's God's word. So that one definitely goes into my little hall of fame for verses that you can take to the bank. Another one of those for me, this is one that I would kind of consider a life verse. And it's Habakkuk 3:19. Now, there's many versions of the Bible out there, but I think the Bible that kind of shares this one the best, in my opinion, and I actually bought this Bible just because of the way it shared this particular scripture.
Wow.
Right? It's the Amplified version.
Yes.
And so this is Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like deer feet and will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. Right?
Mm.
Right. I think the words that jump out to me is that He is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. Isn't that the most like amazing way to look at God, as being your personal bravery?
Well, you know, when you're reading that, I'm thinking, who wouldn't want that?
Right? Who wouldn't want that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been thinking a lot about this lately. The fact that I, you know, just cultivating all these scriptures and all these things that were promised and all of these things that are meant to help us get through this world, I think about unbelievers and I don't know what you would rely on, what comforts you,
right?
If not God in heaven looking down and caring personally for you. So it's really kind of made me step up and make me want to pray even more for unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't have this, who don't have a personal bravery or an invincible army, because they opt not to, they choose not to. And so I want to, you know, intercede more in my prayer time for those, because the same amount of joy and love in my heart that I feel that God has promised me all of these things, I know that there are so many people without that. They have nothing. They're spiritually bankrupt. And that's just really tragic to me. This world that we live in is so hard to live in. And if you don't have your faith to rely on and knowing that He's there, I feel like such passion for people who don't have that.
Well, I think there's something wrong with us as Christians if we don't feel burdened for people who don't know Him. And so that's a sign of God's love in you, is that you're thinking of praying more for people who need Jesus, and He wants us to see the world like He sees it, doesn't He?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I didn't used to feel that way. I did not feel that at all. I, if anything, I would, you know, like I'd feel pity, like I feel sorry for you that you don't. But I didn't feel moved to change that, you know, to really intercede and pray, especially for people you see in your own life or in, you know,
right,
just around, that are just walking around filled with anger and bitterness, mm-hmm, and they're just filled with what the world does to us. You know, our prayer time and all the things that we do, like, you know, digging up scriptures and holding on to them, that's our way of combating what the world does to us, what the enemy does to us. So I can only imagine, you know, these poor people walking around like that every day. That just has to be so hard. So I am so grateful that God does, you know, call us to intercede on behalf of those that just don't know him, if they have yet to know him.
I think that would be a great show for us to do, is how to care and love a world that is dying and has rejected God. Because I'll be honest with you, Corinne, this is, like I said, it could be a whole show. We could talk about it. I struggle sometimes because I go back and forth between these people are sad and need Jesus, and these people have rejected my God that hung on a cross in pain and suffered so greatly for them. And they, some of them have been presented with the truth and they reject him. Then that makes me feel sorry for God. So maybe we could talk about that sometime, as you know, how to reconcile that in your heart, in your mind, and how God wants us to view the world. Because I know he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the devil is blinding eyes. So that's something maybe we could consider for a future topic.
Sure.
Well, while you're talking about those scriptures that build you up, I want to share this one that, if I only had one scripture, so if I was going to a desert island and they said you can only take one scripture with you. Now, this one is written on the pages of my heart, but I would need this in writing so that I could stand on it, because for years I dealt with chronic chest pain, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and think that I was dying. And if you've ever been down a road where you think that you are dying, and you've been told by the emergency room to stop coming back because you're not dying. So you think, they're wrong, I am dying. You need something that tells you you're going to be okay. So one of the pastors that I work for gave me this scripture. And it's one that I'm sure I had heard it before, but it didn't resonate with me until I really needed it. And it is my favorite scripture, Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. And by the way, I'm going to interrupt myself to say, I would sit on the bed in the middle of the night for about 3 years and say this out loud. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. And I would say, in you I will trust. Surely you will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You will cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I will take refuge. Your truth shall be my shield and buckler. And this is the part that was really for me. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So I'm changing this scripture. It says, you know, you shall not be afraid of the terror night, but I made it personal. And sometimes that's what we have to do. So it just goes on and on about how God is protecting us. And I would see in my head, his wings cover me, and I will take refuge. I would see God like an angel almost lifting up his wings from the side and me just running into them. I would have to visualize, I'm under God's wings. I'm under God's wings. I'm not going to die. I will not fear the terror by night. I'm abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my fortress. I would say this over and over out loud until the fear would pass. It would pass. For 3 years, I held my fear at bay with this scripture.
It is a powerful scripture, and it's one that I personally love, Psalm 91 myself. I love how it says terror at night.
Mm-hmm.
So my next one is Psalm 18, 1 through 3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised.
So good.
It's such a psalm of praise. Like, mm-hmm. This is a great, you know, part of your prayer time is, you know, opening it up in praise. And this is just like, how much more can you praise him? You know, that he is your strength, your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your strength again.
I really like the visual of God as my rock and thinking of him that way. There's a song that says, when my heart is overwhelmed, I ask him, lead me to the rock. And something about that, God is my rock, I've always identified with that.
Me too. I can't tell you, it's so weird how many times God has brought up that rock as a symbol to me personally in my life, even as a child. And then as an adult, one of the kind of like little inside jokes I feel I have with God is that Mr. Crafty proposed to me. He gave me my ring on the top of the rock, Rockefeller Center. Mm-hmm. And the rock certainly has that symbolism for me as well.
Well, when we were thinking about doing this show, I thought, I want to share a couple scriptures about how God wants me to act in a world where we're tempted to give our opinion about everything. And, you know, I've said I'm taking a step back from social media, and I've quit Facebook, and I've really cut down my Instagram time, and I'm barely even watching YouTube, and I'm just staying off the internet. And a big part of it is because I was seeing a lot of negativity and comments from people where it's just opinion after opinion after opinion. And a lot of them are, quote, Christians giving their opinion in a really hateful way. So I just wanted to share these two scriptures because this is something that is just much needed in our current society. First of all, James is my favorite book of the Bible. So James 3, 17 through 18, and both of these are from the Living Bible, which I really love, says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and full of quiet gentleness. Then it is peace-loving and courteous. It allows discussion and is willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It is wholehearted and straightforward and sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Wow.
Then kind of to go along with that, Ephesians 4:21 says it plain. It says, stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. Now, if I could just read those two scriptures every day and try to live by that standard, I would be such a better person.
You know, if people read those scriptures before they went on the internet,
right,
and started commenting, it would be a much nicer internet, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I had to unfollow a lot of people that it was bringing something bad out in me. Anything political, for one thing. If I'm going to be taking in political things, it has to be in a place where I can't comment. Because, like, you know, God is dealing with me about these things. He does not want me to be fussing with people. He doesn't want any of us to be fussing with people. So I really
agreed.
Love these two scriptures.
I don't enjoy any of that either. I have really pulled back a lot from, you know, being on social media myself. And I just don't, it's become so hateful and mean because there's just so many people who don't feel any level of accountability. They're all anonymous on the internet. So you can say whatever you want. And it's amazing to me, no matter how many times I'll find something like a book, you know, by an author that I'm like, wow, this is an amazing book. And I'll go right on the internet, find more about them. And there'll be, it's like, it happens constantly. There'll be posts about this author. Oh, they're a heretic. They're awful. Every right time, Tracy, it could be like an old book, like something you wouldn't think would be have, like, this wasn't even written when the internet was around.
Right.
And yet there will be something out there about this author, about their ministry, about the church they go to. And it's really discouraging. So
it is discouraging. That's the word for it.
I just don't. If I am on the internet, like if I'm on Facebook, it's because I'm posting something in my group or talking to somebody in my community, and then I'm out. I don't join groups. I don't run around commenting in other groups. There's been so much negativity from social media for me personally that I'm just like, I don't get any personal pleasure myself from being part of any of it.
Right.
You know, my goal has always been I'm in to encourage and then I pull out. I'm in to like share a thought or, you know, something positive and lovely, and then I'm out. And it's just a better approach. It's
right.
a better approach, really. And I think both of us have definitely, I think it's a good decision on your part too. Mm-hmm. You can waste a lot of precious time in the rabbit hole of the internet.
And it really has just been breaking my heart to see Christians fighting, because that we're representing Jesus to the world. And so if I were not a person of faith and I saw how Christians talk to each other, I would think, well, I don't want anything to do with that. We right. really have to remember who is watching. It's almost like when you have little children mm-hmm. and they're watching you. What you do says more than what you say. And so just like, you know, we can talk about Jesus' love all we want, but if we don't show it to each other, how can we win the world? So it's really one of my main goals in life is to get that message out. And I'm telling you, I have not always been perfect. I'm not standing here as the beacon of love. I'm saying God dealt with me about it first, and I have to shut my own mouth first, and then I have to maybe try to help other people see we have to speak to each other in love. So I'm glad that I got a chance to share those today.
So I wanted to close this episode with my final little scripture for the show. And this particular one was given to me my mentor, Miss Craig. And it's a really wonderful promise. And it's a scripture that I totally glossed over the first time, second, third time I probably read it. And I didn't realize like the implications of it, but it's a great promise for those of us who are, you know, really trying to dig in and have a prayer time with the Lord. So this is Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, mm-hmm. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Mm-hmm. Love it. That's always been one of my favorites. Uh-huh.
Love that promise.
Yeah.
And I take that seriously too. Like in the morning when I'm going to have my quiet time and I'm shutting the door that separates me and Mr. Crafty in the RV. I'm like, I'm going into my private time. It's my little secret place. So it's a really good mentally, like putting yourself in that secret place. I'm here with you, Father, and what you pray for and what you're interceding for, that all that time that you spend with him privately, God rewards you openly later. I love that thought.
My husband goes into the garage every morning. It's a separate building. It's connected by a porch. And so I will miss him sometimes when I get up early. I'm like, where is Mike? His car is here. His the back door is unlocked. So then I figure out he's out there praying and reading the Bible.
Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. I love that. So these are just some of the many scriptures that I had dug up. So Tracy, I'm thinking we might have to have another one of these shows in the near future.
About 40
more awesome scriptures.
Right, more. That'd be great. Yeah.
More.
Well, this is wonderful. I love speaking God's word. I love to talk about God's word. It's the best thing there is. And it's hard to be a Christian without a roadmap, isn't it? God's word is the roadmap for our life.
Indeed.
Well, we hope that you've been encouraged by these scriptures and that you will write them down, look them up, and think about your own favorite scriptures and how God speaks to you through those. And we hope you'll join us again for another show next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye, everybody.